Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago without a live studio audience. We're 0 for 2 the last couple weeks, so we'll see what we can do. But theoretically, next week may not be a podcast because next 2 weeks. But let's just see what happens. I am scheduled to be leading an Israel trip, Project 613 Israel trip, which we're so excited about and have been planning for many moons. It was shot down, quite literally, by the Iranian attack the first time, the missile attack. And the second Iranian attack. And this time we are positive that we are going. Although we are less than a week away and we don't have flights. Because Birthright booked our trip on Lufthansa. And what, like one little rocket hits near Ben Gurion Airport and airlines cancel? Come on, ridiculous. Okay, but anyway, I digress. But we're hoping somehow miraculously that Birthright is going to be able to figure out the flight situation as they have up until now when flights have been canceled due to all that stuff. And we have so many amazing Project 613 and Ignite YP from St. Louis. Give a shout out to Avi and Shani Roberts. Very happy and honored to partner with them on this trip. And it should be amazing. So if I could ask everyone out there who is listening, say a little prayer that this trip should happen. There's so much spiritual elevation that is going to happen. We have so many great, solid, awesome people coming on this trip. And they're going to be inspired Jewishly. And it's just going to be a win-win for the whole Jewish people. So if I could ask a favor, and if everyone could pray just for a moment and say, Hashem, please help Rabbi Garfinkel and his trip. All of them get to Israel, have an amazing time, go in safety, stay in safety, and come back in safety. That would mean the world to me, because at this point, I rely not on Birthright, not on our tour provider. I rely clearly only on the Almighty. So thank you for indulging me, and I appreciate your spiritual contribution to our Israel trip. And now, you know, Israel's on my mind. And there was a very powerful story. That's not a story, you know, you couldn't make this story up. But a very powerful story coming out of Israel now. And it struck me, and I wanted to share it with you. And I think some of you might have seen it on the news, but it is certainly newsworthy, and on a certain personal level, for me, it is newsworthy. So, way back in 1982, there were several soldiers, Israeli soldiers, who were in a battle in Syria. They were killed in Lebanon. Their bodies somehow ended up in Syria. And these are soldiers. One of the body who, the missing soldier, Tzvi Feldman, was recovered from Syria after 43 years. From 1982 to 2025. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu went personally to the Feldmans. Now the parents have passed, but he went to Tzvi's siblings. And I have to tell you, the sister spoke so beautifully. She had a little bit of a press conference, and they're a religious family. And what she said, you can't make this stuff up. She said, we've been praying for 43 years. And we knew that Hashem would answer us. Now, folks, I don't know about you. Okay? I pray a lot. I'm an observant Jew. I pray in synagogue. I pray outside of synagogue. I mean, do you see the greatness here? Talk about a Monday motivation. Do you see the greatness of the depth of faith and trust that this woman, this family had? That they had no doubt that one day the remains of their brother would be returned. And they have been. 43 years later. We are a great people. We are a great nation. And this family, I don't know if they will, you know, ever write any great masterpieces of Torah, or they will go down and they seem wonderful, you know, people who contribute to society and have raised wonderful families. But all they need to do is be themselves, to give us the shining example of what a Jew needs to be. That Hashem, I am with you. And this is a great challenge, but I know that you are not going to leave me behind. I know that you are not going to leave our brother behind. So it is a very, very powerful day in Israel that this was, Zvi Feldman's body was returned. And one reason why it struck me personally is because I remember growing up in, you know, Sunday school, and there were the picture of these three soldiers, the 1982 Lebanese War. Starting Sunday school, and right around then, maybe 1980, something like that. And so I remember when it happened, vaguely, but I remember the picture of these three soldiers being up. They've recovered two out of the three remains, and the third one is still yet to be found. Bezrat Hashem, with Hashem's help, he will be found and recovered and brought back for burial in Israel. Okay. There were pictures, video I saw of the soldiers bringing his body back and saying Kaddish. The mystery novelists, well, all they need to do is just focus on what the Mossad and what the Israeli army has been doing the last year and a half. It is absolutely crazy. Between the beepers in Lebanon and this covert operation to go in deep in the depths of Syria and be able to test these bodies in the cemetery and then bring the DNA samples back to Israel. And then it's the stuff of, you know, fiction novels. You wouldn't even write it in a fiction novel. It's so crazy. But these are things that are happening every day. But that effort, that love for each other, actually circles back to this week's Torah portion. And that's the entry point of what I wanted to talk about tonight. And so we have one of the most famous verses in all of the Torah in this last week's Torah portion. Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. You should love the Lord. You should love You should love your neighbor as yourself. Love your Lord is a different pasuk. Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. And I always like to joke that one third of one of our verses changed all of humanity. And it's true, because Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha isn't actually a standalone verse. It has a little bit of a progression. And it is in Leviticus, Vayikra Yud Tes 19, verse 18. And the verse goes a little something like this. Lo sikom v'lo sitor es b'nei amecha. You should not take revenge, nor shall you bear a grudge against the children of your people. So those are already two different statements. Don't take revenge and don't harbor a grudge against your fellow Jew. Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And then should love your neighbor as yourself. And it finishes off, Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. Okay, fine. As if we didn't know who Hashem was. And in many of these verses, it ends, Ani Hashem. Well, great. Okay, so what does that mean? And why does it need to be there? So let's just take a little stroll down this verse and see the amazing, amazing depth of wisdom that is in here. Okay, so lo si cum velocitor. So you shouldn't take revenge, right? Shouldn't take revenge. This is the problem with sports, right? One guy, you know, in baseball now, you're right. One guy, the pitcher hits a guy, and then what happens? Right, the next inning, the opposing pitcher hits it, and then they hit a home run, then they go for their head. It's straight revenge. Okay, that's not nice. All right, I know hockey. Yeah, they don't. None of them have any front teeth, right? Because they've all been in these fights or the hockey pucks. But whatever. You know, this is not the stuff we want to teach our children. But it says lo si cum. So you don't take revenge. Just because someone does something bad to you, not nice to you, doesn't mean you have to strike back. Now, it says lo si cum velocitor. What's the next level? Not only do you not strike back, you don't harbor a grudge. You don't harbor a grudge against the person who offended you. Now, that's really hard to do. Why do I know that it's hard to do? Because I'm a human being. It's hard to do that. If someone's not nice to you, it's hard to just let it go, and not have any hard feelings. Okay, but that's what the Torah demands of us. Now, I don't know if you see where the progression is going, but heads up over here. First, don't take revenge. Someone offends you, okay? Don't fight back. Obviously, we're not talking about a situation of self-defense. Obviously, if you're protecting your life or your property, you're allowed to take actions towards self-defense. But in general, someone lashes out at you, right? Don't take revenge. And not only don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge. And then, and only then, the pasuk, the verse says, Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Then you should love your fellow Jew as yourself. What does that mean? That means that loving your neighbor as yourself is in the context of someone who was not nice to you. It's not only to your mom, to dad, to your siblings, to the people you love, to your friends. It's in the context of not taking revenge for someone not being nice. And therefore it ups the ante. It makes it even more difficult to love your neighbors yourself because we do not have the excuse of being able to say that, oh, the guy wasn't nice to me, so I don't need to love them. Just the opposite. When people lash out at us, that is the time in particular when we are commanded to kick into the mitzvah of Ve'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, to love your neighbor as yourself. And that means we all need to get to work, because this is difficult spiritual stuff going on over here. A very high bar of spiritual interpersonal excellence the Torah is demanding of us. Okay, so now the question is, how do we show this? How do we love our neighbor as ourselves? Now, there are many mitzvahs that we need to do, that we're commanded in doing, that the Torah itself does not command them per se. We have stories about them, but they follow under the rubric. They're an extension. I won't say an extension. They fall under the category. They're categorized as Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, to love one's neighbor as oneself. So let's go through just some of them about what falls into the category of loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, one of them is to make a bride and groom happy. So when Jews go to a wedding, it's not only that we are looking at the fancy decor and all of the beautiful food, kosher food, of course, and all of the wonderful things that are so exciting about being at a beautiful wedding. But in addition, we have the attitude that by dancing and making the bride and groom happy, we are fulfilling the mitzvah of Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, of loving our neighbor as ourself. Okay. You know what another mitzvah that falls under the rubric of loving your neighbor as yourself is what we call hachnasas orachim, is having guests, hospitality to guests, to bring guests into your home, to feed them wonderful kosher food, and to warm their hearts warm their souls, warm their bellies with all the wonderful food. That is considered loving your neighbor as yourself. Okay. And what else? Bikur cholim, visiting the sick. Visiting the sick is considered part of loving your neighbor as yourself. Maimonides codifies all of these different mitzvahs as part of loving your neighbor as yourself. But there's one more. There's one more. And this is the connection to the beginning story of the Torah portion. And that is what we call the chesed shel emes, the kindness of truth. The kindness of truth is attending to the dead, to take care of people who have died, to make sure that they have a proper burial. Many times, even though Judaism makes the casket, and in Israel they don't even have a casket, death shrouds, everything except the plot of land is relatively inexpensive, but sometimes the plot of land can be extremely expensive, and therefore giving tzedakah to be able to bury someone is considered one of the highest mitzvahs. Burying a dead can even take precedence if there's no one else to do it. One would need to stop one's Torah learning, which is extremely. There are very few things that we would stop our Torah learning for. But if there's something called a mace mitzvah, someone who has no one to bury them, we're obligated to honor the divine presence within the person and go and bury them and take care of their burial process. And so I was thinking, as we were just learning this Torah portion this past week, and I was going through these various mitzvahs that are subsidiary, that are part of the context of loving your neighbor as yourself, how appropriate that right then, just right then, it was announced on Sunday that Zvi Feldman's body will be returned for a Jewish burial. What love! What love! The Jewish people have never given up on each other, on one another. The love for the Jewish people glows brightly. And sometimes amidst the tragedy and the trials and the tribulations, being squeezed by our circumstances, the grapes produce fine wine. That is the Jewish people nowadays. The fine wine that is being produced by the pressure of being squeezed, of being put in uncomfortable, difficult, and impossible situations. And yet Jews are coming out like fine wine with beautiful, beautiful deeds, helping each other, loving each other. And the other part of the title of the podcast, it's 43 years and 584 days. And what a juxtaposition that Idan Alexander, Bezirat Hashem, with Hashem's help, and Hamas won't pull one of their sinister tricks, but they have announced that Idan Alexander will be set free from the vicious captivity that he's been in since October 7th. And that, God willing, will happen. I've heard reports on Monday, heard reports maybe on Tuesday, but either way, and how appropriate, because two Jewish boys are coming home. Two Jewish boys are coming home because, but what unites them? Sadly, one is no longer with us, is dead. The other is, God willing, very much alive. They're united by the fact that an entire people has not given up on them, has not given up on them. And how many hundreds of Israeli soldiers have given their lives in an attempt to free the hostages and to destroy Hamas, this evil enemy that we have. They're united by the Ve'ahavta l'Recha Kamocha, loving your fellow Jew as yourself, just as nothing would stop us if, God forbid, one of our personal relatives was kidnapped by evil people. Nothing would stand in our way. We would fight tooth and nail in order to be able to get our loved ones home. And that's exactly what's happening among the Jewish people. Be it 584 days or be it 43 years. This is what the Jewish people have lived by. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, to love your fellow Jew as yourself, which means to give them a proper burial even 43 years later, and to go on commando missions over the last few weeks in Syria to be able to identify and then retrieve the body. This is the greatness of the Jewish people, and this is the greatness of so many people working so hard to get the hostages out. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, to love your fellow Jew as yourself. And may these two examples be a shining example. They may inspire all of us, to motivate us, that this will be a week. This will be a week that every Jew will love each other, that we will overcome the difficulties that each present to each other, to one another, and to be able to rise up above the petty squabbling and to become great, to become truly great, to fulfill the lofty vision and mandate of the Almighty to us, to love our fellow Jew as ourself. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you in the future. And if the Israel trip happens, we'll be on a couple week hiatus. But I look forward either way to connecting with you again very soon for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.